Is he not? Amen. Hallelujah. He's a good God all the time. We want to welcome our friends, the Burke pastors, Jacob and Brenda Burke from Elizabeth City. They're with Harvest Christian Fellowship there. Amen. If you're ever away from here on a Sunday and you're in Elizabeth City, you know where to stop into. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. All the time. You know, we got a lot going on this morning. Well, we got a lot going on, period. I don't know which one of you started the war in Israel. Amen. But we got that. We got a lot of things going on. You know, we've got people that's out of the church today because of COVID, you know. Right. COVID has become a psychological thing for us. It really has. I want to let you know that. Amen.
That's true.
I'm not telling you you're not sick, but listen, if you get the flu, you're sick. Anything you get, you're sick.
Amen.
I remember I had COVID. When was that? Was last year? Last year for about 4 weeks. And I even had to be hospitalized for a couple of weeks. The hospital didn't give me any medication at all. But the local doctor here, he just gave me some vitamins and gave me some other vitamin type pills. He said, that's all you need. He said, you'll get you through this just like you'll get through a cold, just like you'll get through the flu or anything else.
Amen.
But psychologically, when we hear that word, when we hear that word, we go crazy. You don't have to go crazy. You got Jesus.
Amen.
And you just ask him to fill you up. Amen?
Amen.
Fill you up.
Yes.
Fill you up. Amen. God is a good God all the time, folks. Today we want to continue talking about the goodness of God.
Amen.
You know, those are easy words to say. Four easy words. The goodness of God. Hallelujah. But living that thing as if you knew it was real is a whole different thing. A whole different thing. One of the things I've learned since 1980, when I've given my life to the Lord, is, listen, you can depend on God. You might not be able to depend on your brother-in-law, sister-in-law, mama, daddy, sister, cousin, whatever, but you can depend on God.
Amen.
I can tell you that for a fact. You can depend on God. Hallelujah. You know, my heart goes out so much, you know, at my age, and I look and I'm saying, Lord God, you got all these churches, you got all these folks confessing salvation. But as I look around and I interact with a lot of Christians, I'm saying, Lord, there's a whole bunch of folks out there that's confessing salvation, but they don't have a clue.
Amen. That's true.
They just don't have a clue. What you know? And some of them are walking around confessing and don't have nothing. God said, you will know them
by their fruits.
So our job continually is really to share the gospel, even with those that's confessing salvation. If you don't see the fruits, ask God to give you wisdom on how to sow seeds into that person's life where their eyes will be open.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Their eyes will be open. Hallelujah. I told you several times in the past here about how I knew this guy who's He was one of the top leaders in his church. He wasn't a pastor, but I guess he was the head of the deacon board, not trustee board, you know. And they controlled the church, really, at that particular church. They really controlled the church. You know, and one day I was in the locker room. I think it was at the community college or Chawan College, one of the things. This has been a while back. And he's a very respected man in our community. And he came up to me and he said, Dan, because he knew me fairly well. He said, Dan, you don't really believe all that stuff they say at church. Now, this is the head of the trustee board.
Wow.
It kind of got me off guard for a moment. I said, well, maybe it's the air conditioner. I don't really hear well, you know, something like that. But then I realized what this man was saying. I looked at the man and said, of course I believe it. I said, don't you believe that? He said, oh, no. I said, well, why you go? Why you even go to church? Let me tell you what he said. He says, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Wow.
How many folks are out there like that?
Amen.
Every Sunday, but not understanding the goodness of God and the good life that God has for them.
Amen.
Not understanding.
Amen.
Not understanding. You know, if that's you, listen to me now. If that's you and you have not experienced a transformation, the Bible says, if a man be in Christ, he's a
new creature.
Amen. Amen. You can't be the same old you.
Amen.
after you converted. It's not that it's by choice, it just happens. When God comes in, listen, and lives inside of you, you can't be the same.
Amen.
You just can't be the same.
Amen.
Let me just review a couple things that we've been talking about the last 4 weeks here, just entitled only. First of all, we started off saying that God loves everybody. You say, where you get that from? John 3:16, where he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believing on him should not. Everybody say should not. Should not perish. What does he mean perish? He's talking about going to hell.
Amen.
You want to go to hell?
No.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One day somebody's hand going to go up. Amen. I'm going to say you're in the wrong place. But have everlasting life. And then we told you that you can trust God with your life. And we got that from Proverbs 3 and 5, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your little puny understanding. And all of us have puny understanding compared to God's understanding.
Amen.
And then we said that God isn't confused about what's good and what's evil. And we took you to Deuteronomy chapter 28. The whole chapter talks about blessings and curses. He knows. He knows what's good and he knows what's evil. He's not going to have you do any kind of evil stuff. And then we said that God won't leave you out. Even though, listen, you might have made some mistakes, God won't leave you out. And we took you to that scripture in 1 John 1 and 9 that says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all
unrighteousness.
Now, I'm going to tell you here right from experience. Listen, if you sin, if you fall away, listen, God will forgive you for anything.
Amen.
But with every action, come on, with every sin, everything that you commit, every season of this, you're going to have a season of disorder.
Amen.
Somewhere. There's a price that has to be paid.
Right.
But far as God's forgiveness, you don't have to worry about that. Amen.
Amen.
I may have a hard time forgiving you because you know how weak I am. But God's not as weak as me. So all you got to do is just ask God and he's going to do it. Then we say that God has plenty of goodness. He's not going to run out. And we took you to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. He says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, I don't think you understand what I'm telling you about.
Hallelujah.
I don't care what you got. Amen. God, let me tell you something. If you get to the place where you believe God, God's got something better, however you define that, better than whatever it is you got right now.
Amen.
He got something better than whatever you got in your heart.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. I remember we were looking for a church building. We were looking at all these little buildings and stuff. And trying to persuade people to work with our little bitty piggy bank. Now, we're probably the only one that had a little bitty piggy bank. Everybody know what I'm talking about, little bitty piggy bank?
Yeah.
And listen, we just figured, well, if I just start somewhere, give me a tent, Lord. You the one called us to pastor. Give me a tent. Give me a box. Give me a metal box. Anything. And everywhere we went, the doors were just shut. Never just shut. We were trying to work a deal. And God said, no, I got something different for you. And then God winds up putting this building in our hand. When Lord knows we couldn't afford it. Amen. But how many of you know God could?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Didn't I tell you the story? You guys don't mind my stories, do you? Didn't I tell you the story about how when God told Sister Eva and I to move, we was in a little small, I think it's 3-bedroom house, Sister Eva, next door to Soul Saving there. It was a nice little house. But listen, we had 4 kids. And we brought Grandpa Joe from New Orleans, you know, from a nursing home out there. This is getting crowded in there. And so we got to looking for houses, you know. And, of course, we try to look for houses based upon our budget. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We went to one house. Listen, we went to one house, and the real estate guy was showing us the house. And hallelujah! And it was just a little average house. It really wasn't all that. But I asked the real estate guy. I said, "Well, I'm praying, so I guess you're gonna put the down payment for me." The guy said, "You I know he was calling me names inside. Are you with me? I know what the man was saying. The man said, you wasted my time. You got me showing you houses, and you don't even have a down payment. You, but I was believing God.
Amen.
I mean, and then we found a house, didn't we, sister? A little house on the side, looked like a country house, and just needed a little bit of fixing up. And the lady said, yeah, I want to sell you this house. You know, I think you're the one for it and stuff. Gave us the keys for the house. Didn't give her no money or anything like that. She said, yeah, just go ahead and get it ready. And we'll work out the paperwork. And Sister Eva and I took a broom and a mop and a dustpan. You know what we did. And went down there and started cleaning that house out and doing it. This is before we did any negotiation. And after we got everything clean, the lady came to us. She said, you know what? I think I'm going to give that house to my son. I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking, why you have your son clean and mop and sweep? But I was nice. I wasn't rude to the lady. I just say, yes, ma'am. But in the fullness of time, let me tell you something. God gave us the biggest house on the block. He said, this is where I want you to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then when it came time, I hope you don't mind my stories. I'm going to put them in a book one day. We came down to buy the house and sitting there and closing at the closing thing. And the people said, look, they were getting ready to close. And they say, okay, Reverend Smith, we're going to need a check for X number of dollars. And I said, wait a minute. We're sitting at the table around here with these real estate people and the owners of the house. I said, wait a minute. They're asking for a check. I said, look. I said, God told me that he's going to put me in this house and it wasn't going to cost me a dime. Now, at that time, nobody won't say nothing. Are you with me? The owner don't want to say nothing. The real estate guy, he don't want to blow the deal. He don't want to say nothing. But I know what they was thinking. What is wrong with this fool? Coming to the table with nothing. So what the real estate dealer said, they were nice, they were kind, Sister Eva was sitting there. And they said, okay, Reverend Smith, let us do this. Let us take a break for a couple hours and come back to the table. All right? Let's just see. So we did, and we came back to the table, and the first thing they said, we have made a mistake. Instead of you giving us a check, here is a check for you. I'm buying the house. They give me a check. See, because I knew I'd heard God. He said it wasn't going to cost me a dime to move in that house. So it's going to cost me something. I heard the wrong voice. And I'm about to leave that house alone. Quick. The goodness of God. God is a good God. Look at somebody and tell them God's a good God. The last thing we talked about, listen, God wants us to be a living memorial. Listen, he don't want you to act one way on Sunday and then go out there amongst your relatives and your friends and they know a whole different person.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? If you've got to change just to be around those people, you better let those people go.
Amen.
I'm telling you what I know, you better let them go. Amen. Psalm 92, verse 12 says, the righteous are like living memorials to show that the Lord is upright.
Amen.
And then last week we said that God has a good plan and a good place for all of us. You know, it takes you a while to really understand this thing because we're living in a culture where people say, well, you know, this, they're comparing, especially churches, they're comparing. This church is better than this church and this church, not understanding that there's only one church.
Amen.
There might be a lot of different buildings. Amen. Amen. God has a good plan. See, before you were born, you didn't know you were coming here.
Amen.
When I say here, I mean planet Earth. You had no idea that you were going to be born. But God, before you were in your mama's womb, that's what he told Jeremiah. Well, if that applies to Jeremiah, it applies to you.
Amen.
So before you were even in your mama's womb, he had a plan. And to exercise that plan, he had to bring it through a certain womb, all right, and with a certain father. And in a certain place. And then he just guides you. Does anybody believe this stuff?
Amen.
He just guides you. He just guides you. I grew up in an environment where nobody but poor people. Let me tell you something. You hang with poor people, you're going to think poor. I don't care who you are. You're just going to think poor. And it was an all-black environment, which is all right, but just the way it was. So I was grew up in around an environment with all black and poor people. So my thinking was along those lines. So one of the things that God did for me at the age of 17, he brought me into the military. And the guy said, what do you want to do? And I say, I don't know what I told him. Some sort of guy work on the ship, because that's the only name I'd heard. And he said, no, because of your testing and your scores, I'm going to put you in aviation electronic technician field. I say, okay, whatever, I'll do it. Come and get a paycheck, right? He said, yeah, I'll do it. But in that field, listen to me now, this was back in 1964. And at that time, they were trying to integrate the military, especially the Navy, because it was very segregated. And only people that was in that field was upper-class white guys. That was only in there. That's every now and then you see a black guy in there. But chances are he came from an upper class as well. So God was just changing my environment. He was just changing my environment. How many of you know? You know, you're going to become like the people you're around. Amen. You are. I was a high school dropout. I guess I'm going to get to this message. I guess. I don't know. But I was a high school dropout in 11th grade. But in that environment, folks was all talking about going to college and stuff. And they say, well, why don't you just go get your GED or something? Do something. So I did. I got a GED. And then before you know it, everybody in my shop where I was working at was going to college, because these were guys that were raised up to think college. And so before I knew it, I had an associate degree. Then I had a bachelor's degree. And then when I got a bachelor's degree, I was promoted. And now I'm hanging with all the people that's got bachelor and master's degrees. And they were saying, why don't you go to school some more? Amen. Hallelujah. So I went, you know, and got a master's degree and then another master's degree. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isn't God good?
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. All the time. All the time. And then I started work on a doctor's degree, did all the work, you know, all the work. And then we got in this ministry. I said, God, I ain't got time to do no dissertation for no stuff. I did all the classes. You know, and then all of a sudden somebody called and say, look, we want to give you a doctor's degree.
Praise God.
That's good.
Amen.
You can't be God.
Amen.
You can't be God. But you know one other thing God did, because I still had that poor people project mentality, you know, inside of me, deep inside. So you know what God did? God put me in a field where I had to teach race relationships. I had to teach people from different races how to get along together. When all the time, I had like some crazy thoughts in my mind before that. God said, no, I know my thoughts that I have for you, so I have to change your mind, your way of thinking. Are you with me? I have to change your way of thinking. So for 2 years, that's what I did. You know, I went to school for that, and you know, they bombarded me with theory and all that crazy stuff. But for 2 years, I had to bring white folks and black folks together, you know, and teach them how to live together.
Come on.
Amen? Not because I wanted, but because it was part of God's plan.
Yes.
You can't walk away from there, listen, after 2 years of doing that and be prejudiced toward anybody.
Amen.
You can't.
That's right.
Because then your eyes are open to the truth. The goodness of God. Look at somebody and say, God showing up good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then he sent me here because you're going to be here.
Amen.
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 Amen. He sent me here. God is a good, good, good God. A good God. See, if you just let go and let him do it, he'll just take you where you need to go. But we're so used to thinking about making it happen. You don't have to make anything happen. All you got to do is hear and obey. Once again, isn't that what you want from your children when you raise them up? Just do what I tell you to do, and you'll be fine. Amen? Amen. Today we want to examine the fact that for us to enjoy God's goodness, we have to make a choice of a lifetime. A choice of a lifetime. We've got to do it if you want to enjoy the goodness of God. Some of the time, people don't understand that they have choices. I want to take you to Joshua 24, 15. You know, Joshua was getting ready to go off the scene, and he saw God's people just vacillating back and forth between this God and that God and all kinds of God. And sometimes today, people don't know. Listen, I'm talking about people that's confessing salvation. A lot of them just don't know who is their God. Who is your God? Who is your God? Joshua told old people, he said, listen, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. Choose you. You know, it's very hard to get people to say, listen, I decide I'm going to just serve the devil. They will not say those words at all. They will say, hey, I know I would never serve the devil, but you're not serving God. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live now. But as for me, and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. You see, sometimes people ask the question like that. He said, well, sometimes people say, if God is so good, then why is there so much evil in the world? Well, the answer is quite simply, God is not the only one at work in the world. Amen. I don't know why the world won't recognize the existence of the devil. Not really. They'll talk about him, but they won't really recognize their existence, his existence. They talk over it, and they talk through him. Amen. You know? But they just refuse to recognize, hey, there's a devil out there. There's another spiritual being who is constantly opposing God. Just as God is the source of everything good and perfect, hallelujah, in the earth and in our lives, the one who opposes him is the source of everything evil. Everything evil. There is no evil in our God, none. Amen. But the devil is the source of everything evil. I don't care what you can think about. He's the source of everything evil. Therefore, we are constantly exposed to two kingdoms. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. I wish we could just see in the spirit all the time and just see these things happening and see, especially these demonic spirits, how they're attacking people's lives and their bodies. They're possessing their bodies. Hallelujah. For us to live safely on this earth, we must be aware of these two kingdoms. Why? Because we're always going to be under the influence of one kingdom or the other.
Amen.
You say, well, no, Pastor, I'm doing my own thing. You're just as foolish.
Amen.
You're just as foolish. Come on. You're just as foolish as a two-year-old that say that they're in charge of the house. You're going to be under one of those influences. Either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
God is a good God all the time. You know, in New Orleans, they have streets, big wide streets. Some of them is as wide as a highway, but just big wide streets. And in the middle of those streets, a lot of them, they have an area there that's just grassy. Well, you can walk on them. You can run on them. So cars go one direction on one side of that grassy area and then another direction on the other side of that grassy area. And we call that area the neutral ground. The neutral ground. But see, here on earth in the spirit world, there is no neutral ground.
Amen.
There is no neutral ground. You can't say, well, I'm not for God and I'm not for the devil. You're just as foolish. Yeah, Pastor, I'm just doing my own thing. You don't have a thing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What you gonna control? Amen. You don't have a thing. What most of us don't understand is that the kingdom of God has dominion over the kingdom of darkness. The devil don't want you to know that, but he does. Light always overcomes darkness. Always. Go into any dark room and strike a match. That match has control. Amen. Every person has been given a free will to choose where he lives and moves and has his beings. Amen. Amen. And whose plan he's going to follow. Amen. Amen. Don't give me this. The devil made me do it. Oh, no, no, no. You yielded yourself to that devil.
Amen.
He may be in control now. And you need to get delivered. But you open the door. Hallelujah. Does everybody understand that? Do you really understand that?
Amen.
See, because we don't see the devil. We don't see the spirits. We don't see the spirits. We just don't see them. So it just goes out of our minds like it doesn't exist at all. At all. As a young boy, I got trapped in the spirit of lust. You've heard this before. I got trapped in the spirit of lust, being exposed to a lot of pornography, you know? And when you get that spirit, let me tell you something, folks. When the spirit of lust get in there, you'll find yourself doing things that you shouldn't do.
Amen.
Amen? Now, you're not crazy because you're going to make sure that nobody see you doing those things. Somebody give me an amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
But for most of my young adult life, listen, I was a captive to the spirit of lust. Now, I could not have defined it for you then. All I knew is what I liked and what I liked to do. You know, that's all I know. That's all I knew at the time. I told you that story when I was back down in Memphis, Tennessee, going through training back there, and they had little projects that back there. And that spirit just makes you want to just get with whoever woman that's out there. And I knocked on that one lady door, and they knew me in that neighborhood. And they called me Smitty. They said, Smitty, what are you doing at my door? She said, you're trying to go with every woman in the project. And then she said something to me, listen to me, that it took me years to realize the effect of what she said. She said, boy, there is something wrong with you. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, she was the first person to say that to me. I thought I was just doing my thing. I know something, you know, wasn't exactly right, but I didn't understand. Didn't have enough spiritual knowledge to understand what was going on with me. She said, boy, something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. Nobody does that. Nobody. Nobody. Some of you may be in bondage to something. It may not be lust. It may be homosexuality. It may be gambling. It may be whatever spirits that's out there. And you just keep doing it, keep doing it. You know, you just keep doing it. And when it's over, you tell yourself, I shouldn't have done that. But you can't help it because you're not really in control.
Amen.
And that thing's going to do that to you until you die or until you get delivered.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, salvation is like one of those miracle drugs. Salvation will cure you of anything. 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 You talk too much, get saved. Salvation will take care of anything. Anything. True salvation. Now, don't you think for a moment going and joining somebody's Christian church is going to deliver you. Amen?
Amen.
But it may be a step toward that. Jesus told Nicodemus, what are you telling him? You must be. It won't. Nothing won't happen for you, Nick, till you're born again. You know, you're telling people, well, I've been a member of that church for 28 years. So what?
Amen.
So what? You're still chewing tobacco. I wish I can tell the whole world. Listen, I feel like a happy boy. Listen to me now. Listen, when salvation comes, you get rid of all that mess.
Amen.
Including poverty.
Amen.
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 Including poverty.
Yes,
including poverty. Hallelujah. Prior to getting saved, I couldn't save a dime. Seemed like I'd go through money. I just never had nothing. Amen. Salvation takes care of it all, folks. Let me talk a little bit about the kingdom of God. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Amen. God is a good God all the time. Colossians 1:13 says, talking about God, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Let me tell you something. Satan is a ruler of what the Bible calls the dominion of darkness. He is the ruler of this current ungodly, worldly system.
Amen.
He's the one in charge of that. The operating principle of the devil's kingdom is the principle of fear. Hebrews 2:15 says this, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear will do that. Fear will put you in bondage. And that's one of the devil's major tools. Scared of this, scared of that, scared of this, scared of that, scared of this. I don't know, but somewhere in the Bible I read, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You need to tell that devil, I'm going to get mine. If it's victory that I need, I'm going to get mine. I ain't scared of you. Amen. Some people are scared. Some confessing Christians are scared to tell the devil, I'm not scared of you. He's the author of that fear thing. Amen. According to that scripture in Hebrews, the devil uses fear to keep people in bondage. Anytime they try to break free of the devil's control, he calls on the forces of fear to keep them in line.
Amen.
Well, I better not go this way. Nobody going to like me. Come on, are you with me? I better not do this because of this. I better not. Ah, that's the devil, folks. The governing spiritual laws of the devil's kingdom is what the Bible calls the spirit, or rather the life of sin and death. You say, where you get that from? Romans 8:2. And this is what it says. We put it on the board before you. He said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Which basically said, listen, you sin long enough, you're going to experience death. Possibly physical death, but surely spiritual death. That's why they call it the law of sin and death. Every person under the devil's rule is doomed to a life of slavery to sin. When that lady asked me at that door, she said, boy, what's wrong with you? Something wrong with you. She didn't understand the drive that was in me. She didn't understand that. She didn't understand that I was really not in control. She did not understand it. I didn't understand it. I just stood there and laughed at her. Amen. Next week, I knocked at another door. And then another door. You say, didn't you know better? Listen, when you're under the control of a spirit, it's not about you knowing better.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. It's not about that. Yes, I always knew what was right and wrong. Always. But when you're under that control, I'm going to tell you, it is control. All the time. Every person who has not truly made Jesus their Lord is under Satan's rule. You're going to be ruled by somebody, either God or the devil. You might as well decide. The devil gives his people no choice. No choice. No choice. No choice. None at all. I think I understand the devil's tactics by pulling prayer out of school, by getting rid of the Ten Commandments in public places. I understand his strategy because he don't want 5 and 6 year olds getting close to God.
Amen.
He wants to get close to them and put his stuff in there as early as possible. Hallelujah. See, people under the devil's control, they might fight against sinful behavior in one area of their lives. But if they succeed in overcoming that area, they will only find it cropping up in another area of their lives. The devil's not about to let you go. So Jesus has to come along and just take you out of that. Jesus come along in salvation. He tell the devil, okay, hands off. That person has given their life to me. I own this one.
Amen.
Amen. To take your little mess with you. Take your little mess with you. All right? Because they have no more use for it. Amen. See, when you truly get saved, hallelujah, you get such a joyful feeling in your spirit. I don't know why people fight it. They want to be in control. And God already told you, don't lean to your own understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. Since the wages of sin is death, those people I'm talking about that give their life to the enemy, death is continually working in them, dragging them down, 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 down. That's the way it works. That's the way it works, folks. Don't stay in bondage.
Amen.
If you hear this, listen, don't stay in bondage. Don't stay in bondage. Just don't do it. In 1980 is when I got saved, and I must have been 33 then. You know, 33 years of living without God, let me tell you, that's foolish. But if you don't know no better, amen? You don't know no better, amen? You don't have to find no preacher. You don't have to find no deacon. You don't have to find nobody. Just call out to God.
Amen.
Just call out to God. You heard my story. You know, drunk on the island of Guam after midnight, didn't chase somebody, some lady, brought her home. Amen. Hallelujah. Just sick and tired of my lifestyle. And I look, Guam is a little island, 15 miles wide, maybe about, I don't know, maybe 30 miles long, maybe, I don't know. But you know, no, nothing out there. But I know I was sick and tired, you know, sick and tired. There wasn't so much doors to knock on in Guam, but there was a sure lot of people, you know, that you can approach over there. But being sick and tired, I pulled my car over on the side of the road after midnight. I knew it was after midnight because it was late. Mm-hmm. And I was just crying. I'm saying, wait a minute. Something's wrong here. Something's wrong here. And I just call out to God. See, most adults just won't get saved until they hit rock bottom.
That's right.
Because we think we're so smart.
That's right.
We think we're in control.
Amen.
I pulled that car over and got to crying, didn't know what to say or what to do. You know, and I said, God, listen to me now. I said, God, if you are real, because all I'd known up to that point was religion.
Mm-hmm.
If you are real, I need your help. I said, I don't know what else to do, God, but I know this lifestyle's got to stop. And something came in that car. I wish I knew what it was. I wish it was visible so I could have took a picture of something. I don't know. But all I know is something came in that car that night. And all I had to do was ask him sincerely. Not somebody say, repeat after me.
Amen.
I asked him sincerely because I needed something. He came in. Hallelujah. You won't see a body come into your body. You won't see that. You won't see angels all around you. But all I knew, the very next morning I woke up. Hey, I didn't want another drink of alcohol no more. Amen. No more. I didn't have no appetite for no other woman but my wife. I didn't understand that. All of a sudden, I didn't desire to gamble because I was a big gambler. Didn't desire to get all the stuff that was killing me. I had no more desire. No counseling service. Hallelujah. Nobody laying hands on me. Amen. I'm talking about the power of God. Don't you want that? Going to church won't do it for you. Hallelujah. I thank God you come to church. But let me tell you, when God sets you free, you're free indeed.
Amen.
You're free indeed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're talking about the choices you got. Amen. The choices you got. And those people that keep themselves under the influence of the devil, let me tell you something. Their lives go from bad to worse. And eventually their lives end up in eternal death and permanent separation from God. We call that going to hell.
Amen.
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 Come on now. You got to get born again or you're going to bust hell wide open. There's no other way of saying that.
Amen.
You're going to be a permanent resident Say te boshata. Oh la 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 bashata. Yay. Ha la la boshita. You're going to be a permanent resident. Hallelujah. You better open your eyes and look around you as to what's going on in the world we're living in.
Amen.
All the signs are there.
Amen.
All the signs are there. And not just for you, but for all your loved ones. Pray and intercede. Claim them.
Amen.
Claim them. Claim them. Claim them. Claim them. Claim them.
Amen.
Who you want to see go to hell? Claim them. Claim them.
Amen.
Claim them. I told that other story about my previous wife before she died. She died in California. She really wasn't saved. Really wild lady. Amen. Wilder than me. Amen. But you know, she was my wife. But she died in California. You know, she died out there calling herself going to get away from Dan Smith. She died. She died. And the doctors called me after she died, about 4 hours after she died. And they said, Mr. Smith, we can't explain it. He said, your wife died 4 hours ago, but she's alive today. And when I got to California, I just hitchhiked on airplanes, from military airplanes from Norfolk. When I got to California, my wife said, Dan, she says, I saw hell. She said, but because of my relationship with you, God sent me back and gave me another chance. And she was so eager to go back to Ahoskie and do whatever God wanted her to do. But her body was just ate up. God didn't heal her, but he saved her from hell. Are you with me? Intercede for your loved ones. Intercede. Decree and declare not one of your loved ones going to hell. Not one. We got a choice to make, folks. Ha ha. Oh, you don't tell me about God. I know God. I know what he will do. God's a good God. I thought all those doctors was going to get saved in there. Amen. God's a good God. I don't know many people that God has given that chance to come back. Not after 4 hours. Do you understand? 4 hours. Medically, you ain't even supposed to be talking. 4 hours. God is a good God. Hi, man. When you hook up with the devil, let me tell you, everything going to go bad. If you fall in love and get married, hallelujah, then you'll ruin your relationship with things like selfishness and anger. If you get money, the money ruins you because money finances sin in your lives. People sometimes talk about how the devil can bless his own. Actually, listen to this. Actually, the devil can't bless anybody.
Amen.
Because he's cursed himself.
Amen.
He can't bless nobody. Anything he gives you eventually gonna lead to your harm.
That's right.
Anything. Anything he can give to those under his rule will eventually destroy them. Let me take just a few minutes to talk about the kingdom of God. My whole thrust today was really to encourage you, listen, to make up your mind to choose who you're gonna serve. And don't listen to that. Dean, put your hand down. Don't listen to that stuff, but I got plenty of time.
Amen.
Amen. You don't know how much time you got.
Amen.
Amen. You're gonna be saved, be saved.
Amen.
Give it all to God. There's no work for you to do. Just ask him in and just be sincere. When he come in, he takes over. Amen.
Amen.
The other kingdom that's operating in the earth is the kingdom of God. And it's the most powerful kingdom there is. This kingdom is under the dominion of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a kingdom filled and governed with the peace and the blessings of God. I've looked at some of you over the years and how God has just changed your life and made it better. Has he not made it better for you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's not a respecter of anybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Instead of operating by fear, God's kingdom operates by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And see, what a lot of people haven't understood, listen to me, is that your voice activates your faith.
Amen.
Amen. Faith come by
hearing.
And hearing by the
word of God.
But it's your voice. Amen. It's what you say.
Amen.
Amen. You say stuff like, I ain't gonna never have nothing. You're right. Your voice activates your faith.
Amen.
See, when we get saved, we become citizens of God's kingdom. Oh, ha. You know, we could talk a whole year about what it's like living in God's kingdom. If you're not living there, hallelujah. He's the answer to every question you got. No use fighting with people trying to get them to change their mind on how they're treating you or what's going on. Get into the kingdom. Get into the kingdom. As citizens, we are released from the devil's operating principles and the laws of the devil's kingdom, and we come under instead a completely new government ruled by a higher law.
Amen.
We just need to understand that. The Bible calls this law the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Remember Romans 8 and 2 said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's nothing the devil can do to us once we get into that other kingdom.
Amen.
Don't you want that?
Amen.
See, a lot of people want what God's got offer, but they want part of the old world too. You can't. There's no way. My wife's going to say, I'm going to go back and get my high school boyfriend. No, not in this house. You ain't. No, she can't be married to him and married to me.
Amen.
Are you with me? I can't go back and get no old girlfriend and say, I'm going to marry both of you. No, that ain't going to work.
Amen.
You think that's going to work? Ask this Eve.
No.
That ain't going to work. You got to make up your mind. You got to choose.
Amen.
You got to choose. And people start saying, well, I ain't going to be able to do this. I ain't going to be able to do this. I ain't going to be able to. Well, you should have stopped doing those a long time ago.
Amen.
Amen. God is a good God all the time. Oh, hallelujah. All who belongs to the kingdom of God has access to God's power, his blessing, by simple trusting God. There's nothing great you got to do. You don't have to be the best preacher in the world. You don't have to be the preacher at all.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And you have access to all God's promises that's written in his word. You've got that. The choice, now here it is. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Look at somebody, tell them that. The choice is yours. The choice, Brother Linwood, the choice is yours. You must choose. Unlike the devil who tries to force his will on those in his kingdom, God makes the people in his kingdom, come on, free. God said, all right, you don't want to serve me. You don't want to do with me what I want you to do. Fine, just go on and do that. Freedom to choose is a gift from God. The devil don't give you no choices. Once he got you, you're going to do some things you know you don't want to do. If we choose God, we will experience his blessings. If we choose the devil, we will experience the curses. That's just the way it goes. We can choose our path, come on, but we cannot choose the consequence of that path. For every act of disobedience, what is there? A season of disorder. You don't get away with nothing, saved or unsaved. Nothing. 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 Remember David, King David? King David slept with one of his men's wives. Then had the man killed. Now that's a low-down, dirty dog. Are you with me? Slept with the man's wife. Listen, got her pregnant and then had the man killed. Now, I know nobody here has done nothing that low. Ain't no doubt in my mind about that. But you know what? He repented.
Amen.
And God forgave him.
Amen.
But oh, you need to read the rest of the book. His family had problems after problems after problems after problems after problems that none of them probably would have experienced if David had not done that. Amen. For every act of disobedience, there's a season of disorder. Hallelujah. We cannot have it both ways, sisters and brothers. We cannot live like the devil and enjoy the blessings of God. It's going to catch up with you. I'm telling you now, it's going to catch up with you. But the good news is that we don't have to live, you know, with the devil's mess. If we're caught in something, we can ask God to deliver us. That's all it takes. And be sincere. See, we can try to live in two worlds, but it don't work. One last scripture, Isaiah 1:19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I made that decision. I hope you have. And then verse 20 says, but if you refuse and you rebel, say, I hear people say, I ain't rebelling. Well, you're not doing what God told you to do. And rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Yes. Brothers and sisters, you have a choice. And I call you brothers and sisters because most of you have confessed salvation. You have a choice, but you can't live both ways. Amen. If you've done something to open your life up to the devil's control of your life, or your mind, your bodies, you just need to ask God to forgive you and ask God to deliver you. Yes. Amen? Just deliver you. Deliver you. You know, because the devil said, well, don't worry about it. They'll never know. Oh, yeah, they will. Oh, yeah, they will. If you have gotten past the time that God has set for your delivery, listen to me now. God will just take his hands off you and you'll be exposed. Why do that? Why do that? Why don't you just make a choice? It's God all the way. And for the devil, no way. No way at all. No way at all. Let's just go to God in prayer. Father, we just thank you right now for salvation. We thank you for the choice that you've given us, Lord. Ha, ha, ha. Say it, Boshita. We thank you for that. Now, Lord God, we know that we don't understand everything, but we understand enough to know that we have a choice. And today, Lord God, we pray, hallelujah, that not only ourselves, but everybody in the sound of our voice, Lord God, hallelujah, will make the choice to serve you, to hear and obey, whatever way you tell them to go, whatever you tell them to do, whatever you tell them to say, right now, Lord. Father, we yield ourselves to you as willing vessels. Have your way. Have your way. Is there anybody among us?